Okay, well, we're going to be talking about preparing for college here. And the first thing I want to do is come up with some more words of wisdom. There will always be well-intentioned people who will be willing to advise you concerning things they may not really have experienced, thought about, or even know. After all, everybody desires to be an expert. You will find that the pressure to discourage you, especially at the high school level, that's when it really, really starts. Because people find it so difficult to think outside of that box, that everybody goes through this process, and as a consequence, we're all successful. Yes, true, successful in that light. Remember we said we had two sides to this coin? We have the direct approach to God through Jesus Christ, or the Babylonian approach to God through the tower. And that one gives us confusion. You can't bring that home. So really, the reality is that you've got to be careful who you listen to. This has been a war going on in Alberta forever. Well, I'm going on and I'm saying, do prescribed programming, forget about that diploma. There's lots of other people going out there and saying, if you don't have that diploma, you will never be successful. This is what you get all the time. You have to listen to people who know what they're talking about. That would be me. Okay, now, pathway. First of all, what we did is, I got an extra click here. We chose a career path or a direction. Secondly, we created a portfolio to document our education, and now what we're going to do is we're interested in advancing to the college level. So we're going to then, we now need to do something. All right. So this is where we're at now. We've walked through it so far, and we're going to look at what it takes to do the effort. Now, what about the diploma? Well, the provincial diploma is awarded to those who have followed the provincial programming to completion. In other words, if you have gone to MUN and you've put 4 years in MUN, are you nuts to expect a degree from Dell? Yeah. If you go to school, you get a diploma that said that you've been to school. If you have not gone to school, make your own. It's easy to do. I should tell you this one little story, quick story. I was actually scheduled to talk to the registrar of a Grant McEwen Community College in Edmonton. And the lady there, it just so happened that one of my students had applied. And all of a sudden, out of absolutely nowhere, they demanded a diploma. So the lady happened to be my facilitator's son, one of my facilitators. So she phoned me and she said, you know, Tim needs a diploma. I said, no problem. So I created one. When I got there, I started talking to her. So, this is Timothy's diploma. I said, I made it in green, but I could have used red or brown if you'd have liked. Boy, did she get the message. Okay? The reality is it's a piece of paper. I made one for my daughter. When I asked my son, do you want a diploma? He said, there's a whole roll of them in the bathroom. Should I need one? So, the reality is that it's a piece of paper. What does that diploma guarantee? Nothing. Oh, yes, there is a guarantee. It took 12 years to get, minimum. Is there a guarantee of literacy? None. Guarantee of numeracy? None. Guarantee of ability to use computers? None. What guarantee is there, that diploma? None. So let's not get hung up on something that's just simply a piece of paper. It's not important. It is not a part of a home education program. We should never let ourselves get stuck in this one. Now, it's hard for us. And it's especially hard for dads. I'll tell you why it's hard for dads. Dads, their job is to make sure that their children are successful. Okay? And they take that job seriously. Homeschool dads or home educating dads are the worst that way, or shall we say the best. They're really, really serious about their child's success. And oftentimes, they're the ones who are really standing in the road of the freedom. Because the mom wants to just do, you know, just educate the children. But the dad is sitting there saying, but you know what? If they don't have their diploma, they won't succeed. Old school. Your old school. Not today's homeschool. You understand the difference? Okay? So it's not important. You don't need to do that. And these three young people that I mentioned, and Zachary just walked in, these three people that I mentioned are proof positive. And the fact that, I forget your name now. Yeah, he said, wow, you know, what an encouragement to see that we're just starting and there's these kids that are finishing. Yes, they're blazing the trail. Just in case you're forgetting, you're representing all the home-educated students of the province when you go to these colleges, so behave. Okay, now, anyways, So other diplomas are of little interest to admissions people. Abeka gives you a diploma. You can get an ACE diploma. You can get Bob Jones diploma. You can get all these diplomas. They're useless because they're a different language. Si je vous parle en français, vous ne comprenez rien. Right? Nobody understood that, right? If we're speaking a different language, folks, you're not going to understand. So when you bring these diplomas in there, it proves that you have indeed done some work, but it is of little value to them because it is speaking to them in a language that they do not understand. So that's why it's not that important. No guarantees, lost credibility. How many of you actually hire people? Oh, nobody. Because usually when we ask people who hire people, I ask them about the diploma. What does it mean? Squat. Don't even look at it. Can they work? Give them a job and find out. Because the diploma is not going to tell you whether they can or not. All right. And it's, whoops. What did I say there? It says it's not needed to continue in the workforce for their education. Okay. Here we go. Planning ahead. When you're looking at this, come on, button. Academic planning. To the degree that you are able, you must. Here's rule number one. To the degree that you are able, you must. If you can do math, keep doing math. I didn't say anything about liking it. I said able to do it. Do you understand the difference here? And here's my thinking. If you are able to do math, I'm just using math as an example. If you are able to do math, is it possible that your future involves math? Possible. If you can't, if math is not part of your makeup, is it possible that your future involves something in math? Not likely. Okay? So we don't know where you're going to end up. So if you can, you must. Now, if you're one of those super students, that means you got to do a lot of work. Alicia probably comes pretty close to being a super student. If you look at that portfolio, that's pretty wow, huh? Okay? So there's lots of people like that, or that could do all kinds of things. And so, you know, you've got to do what you can do. Your abilities have something to do with your future. I'll just finish saying that, right? When did the mechanic start to communicate to you that that was going to be their career? Probably around 10, when you walked into the garage and a lawnmower is all taken apart. Okay? They've already done it. And you go, what did you do? He said, I just wanted to see how it worked. Oh. And of course, you're lost because you haven't got a clue how to put this thing together. And you say, you put that thing together, you know, and then you walk out of there and you go, boy, I guess it's just going to cost me another lawnmower. And a half an hour later, you hear down in the backyard because he did it. Okay? That's there. That's not a training. That's not, you know, I mean, later on they'll go through training, but they'll indicate to you. My middle son, he's an architectural technologist. You know what his favorite subject was? Lego. He built a million different houses and designs and whatnot. Then he was doing it all over in paper, and he's a math genius, and I'm thinking he's going to be an engineer. And then all of a sudden, he's into architecture, and we're going, what part of building houses and drawing houses did we not understand? He was communicating from the time he was that big what exactly he was going to do. Now, in all fairness, our youngest one, communicated nothing. We were worried to death that he was going to be going nowhere. We figured maybe the armed forces, but homeschool kids don't do good in the armed forces. You know why? They're independent, critical thinking people that are most likely going to go, why, instead of yes, sir. Okay? Now, it's now your responsibility from here on in. Your parents have sort of not been disqualified. They've been graduated. Okay? You're carrying on. They're graduated. They're done. And you need to start, in terms of a clear direction, you need to start rather early, roughly a level 9. Now, that normally would be 15 years old if you're going to school. I'm talking about just gone through puberty. We're talking more like 12, 13 is when you really start working toward that future. Now, so you want to have a well-rounded education. And we saw that by looking at Alicia's portfolio, that it was really quite good. Lots of English, and she did that. What is it you think it looks like as a student who's applying to go to these institutions that have already completed 2 university-level courses? Pretty impressive, huh? I forgot to ask, how old are you, Alicia? 17. She's 17. You're 2 years too early, right? 2 years too early, according to them. What was throwing them off more than anything else was probably not her university courses or her portfolio. It was her age. Mm-hmm. Okay? But she's already been to college, I mean, for what, 2 years now? Three? Did you guys do the Athabasca University as soon as we came, like 2004, that year? Or the year after? The year after. Okay. So you were 15. She was 15 going to college, going to university. We've got students in Alberta as young as 14 and 13 that are actually doing college-level courses. If you don't think in terms of school, if you think in terms of learning, it's not unreasonable. We've come to just expect that. When our children start getting to be 13, 14 years old, we fire the parents and insist that the kids start doing something on their own. And oftentimes they do the Athabasca courses and they are successful. Very successful. We have one actually dove into a third-year biology course at 16. And she wouldn't have been successful if she hadn't have met that boy. All right, grammar, spelling, vocabulary, literature, and here's something that you really want to work on, your composition. Research skills. That is going to be the number one skill you're going to need at a post-secondary level. You've got to learn to research, right? Right. Okay, so do that, and you know what? It's a good idea to include one of these research reports or something like that in your portfolio. You want to indicate that you already know what you're doing there, all right? Otherwise, they're going to be guessing. Mathematics, maximum. Now, let me tell you something. If you are going into automotives, your math is more important than your English. Your English is still important, you understand? But in order to fix cars, you don't really need to do a lot of reading and research, you understand? Okay, now when we go the other way around, sometimes when you're going into the arts, as an example, if you're a painter, your math doesn't matter. I've seen people just sweating to death over this matter. You know, oh man, every time I do a math course, I flunk it. That's okay. What part of math do you need in order to be in drama or art? All right? So you don't have to worry about having this. I'm saying maximum. And that varies with individuals. With Tim, we showed before, he did the complete Saxon program right into Saxon physics. He was probably already at a second year post-secondary level by the time he finished his mathematics. For other people, it's consumer math. How to balance your checkbook, you know, the $5 bill is worth less than the $10 bill, and you know, this very simple hands-on, you know, this is a better value than this, you know, what's a mortgage, how to minimize your taxes, these kinds of things that you need to survive in the real world. Our son, when we fired that algebra course into the garbage, we gave him the consumer math. He blew through that in a hurry. Now let me tell you, I've got two sons. I've got one who's a mathematical genius. He can do calculus in his head. It's amazing. I mean, there was several times where there were disputes when he would sit there, look at a question, and put down the answer. And we wanted to see his work. And his response was, I got the right answer. Okay, have you got those, kid? All right. These are not natural. My other son, who couldn't, like I said, he was the one whose fear was that skill testing question to get into heaven. Now, those two sons, which one do you think is going to do the best with money? The younger one. The older one told us, he said, I could do math. I said, everything in my whole world is math. But you put a dollar sign in front of the number, I'm done. He cannot balance his checkbook. He does not know how to budget. And try as we may, I mean, Faye still has hair in her head, but I'll tell you, she pulled a lot of it out trying to get him to budget. It didn't work. And our youngest son, well, I have to admit, he was the guy that I had to go to and say, hey, I'm kind of a little short this month. Can you loan Dad $50? And to this day, I mean, you know, they're all homeowners, and our youngest son is like, he is going to see mortgage-free faster than anyone I know. He's a natural with money, so he can't do algebra. Big deal. All right, so maximum math and other career-specific subjects, and you saw that Alicia is going into science, and she had physics, chemistry, she had her science in order. Don't bother applying to science if you don't have a complete science portfolio. Know what you want, and then know why you want it. And that was the one thing, she wanted Dell. Sometimes I think she wanted Dell because her parents didn't, but that's another story, right? Okay. It's just that sometimes we just want to flex our independent muscles. She wanted that. You can pray. You can seek counsel. Parents can give you counsel. Others can as well. And then, of course, you want to get that experience in order to be able to know what it is that you're talking about. Job shadow, volunteer, part-time work in the field. All right, carrying on, you want to research the field requirements. And you want to know what the qualifications are. In other words, let's go into nursing. What do you require to get into nursing? Well, you have to have your certificate in nursing. Where can you get that and how can you get that? These are the things that you have to find out. And what are the admission requirements or the admission criteria? Now, here's something I want you to know. Requirements are requirements. They are not negotiable. You understand? If you need English and math and science, or English and math and biology and chemistry in order to get into that program, you will not negotiate that away. You need English and math and biology and chemistry. End of story. Now, here's the thing. You can meet them, but meet them in your own way. How do you meet the English? They want a grade 12 English. You show up with an English 175 or 177-255, okay? And then you've got your English requirement. Biology, do it through J. Wild. It doesn't have to be the public program. There's all kinds of different ways to do it. So in other words, have the biology, have the chemistry, have the English, and have the math. You don't have to do the public program, but you have to have the program. I hope that is abundantly clear, because you can't negotiate away requirement. All right, documentation. You've got to indicate that you meet those entrance requirements and then, of course, you must indicate a reasonable level of proficiency. The registrar of the Northern Alberta Institute of Technology, him and I, we started off across the table. He was my inspiration to do the work that I've done at post-secondary as I tried to slug my daughter in. In 1996, believe me, we were where you folks are now with your young people just getting into post-secondary. And he told us, it's not our job to keep students out. And that's true. Their job is to find the best qualified person. You must indicate that you've got a very good chance of success, right? And it's best done to document, it's best done with us with the portfolio. The other thing is that we're finding that you can shortcut the portfolio by doing what Alicia didn't want to do, and that's to go write the SATs. All right, you can go and do the SATs, and you've got something they understand. The SAT is kind of a translator, especially here in Eastern Canada. In Alberta, they have more of the mentality that, oh, that's an American outfit. But in the Atlantic provinces here especially, you're so close to the States that people could just hop across the border and both ways. So I found when I did my research, when I came in 2004, and I went into the individual, you know, Smoo and Dale and Mun and all these other things people talk about, they were all quite open to doing the SATs, which I found quite surprising because in Alberta the experience was quite the opposite. So they're quite open to that. We'll talk a bit about that in a moment when we talk about testing. What about gaining admission? Well, here's the best approach. Do it yourself. We have a problem because when kids go to school, they've got this guidance counselor. I use the word, how many of you were damaged by guidance counselors? I sure was. All right, we got these guidance counselors that are holding the children's hands. They actually even fill in the application for them. They do everything for them, and all of a sudden the university figures that the student has arrived there on their own. Wrong. Somebody's held their hand. We as home educating parents do not have that luxury. So what do? We show up at the institution with our child. And what do they see? Oh, he's a mommy's boy. Okay, you see? So it's tough, but you've got to do it on your own. And there's two reasons why you've got to do it on your own. You don't want to convey the wrong message. And number two, you're going to have to eat the consequence of the decisions anyway, not your parent. So you may as well start now. So go and do it yourself. Don't bring the younger ones maybe, you know, somebody 16, 17, sometimes the institutions would like sort of confirmation that you're okay with your young daughter going to these colleges. But when you're 25, I remember I had one 25-year-old where mom was sitting across, and it happened to be at Nate, and I happened to have a friend there, and I called in a favor, and his response was, does she have to help him go to the bathroom too? Like, he was offended by having a mother arguing with him over her 25-year-old son. Can you understand? I can certainly see his concern. So,
I need to comment on that.
Yeah.
David was 60, like he was just finished grade 11.
Yeah.
We're supposed to do grade 12, but he applied
anyway, and I said, let's just try it, see if you get mm-hmm. accepted. So I went and spoke to the registrar, mm-hmm. Susan Apple Bennett at Sir Wilfrid Grenfell mm-hmm. Mon, and she was very surprised that he would apply, and she just looked at his, she said, all you need is a letter of reference, mm-hmm. character reference, mm-hmm. tell him to write a personal letter why he wants mm-hmm. to come to our university,
yeah.
and the Canadian Achievement Test, but yeah. that also that Athabasca
course helped. Yeah.
But I think, like, because he was so young, because he actually ended up in, like, turning 17 mm-hmm. in his first semester.
Yeah.
Which is unusual because right. most of the kids are 19. Mm-hmm.
And in that case, the parents would have to be there just to give them the confidence that you have that confidence in them.
Yes,
yeah.
But at the same, she was very impressed at homeschooling. She mm-hmm. kind of wanted to know even more about it.
Well, sure. When 16-year-olds land at the door and they've already done more than what most high school students do, that's impressive. It really is. So you got to, you know, as much as possible, do it yourself. And here's the other trick. Most people apply and abandon. They're so used to having people do it for them. That's not the story we got from Alicia, right? She became a little bulldog, right? She wasn't going to take no for an answer. And that's important. So if you want to do something, do something. All right, make your home education known. And what I mean by that is that if you go in there and you say, what do I need to come to MUN? Now, I should say that MUN is one of the easiest places in Canada to get into, thankfully. And that's because, and these are the very words of the associate registrar at MUN when I went and visited her, and trying my best doofy accent, saying, we don't want anybody leaving the island. Okay? So they want students to stay here, and rightly so. Okay? Now, every college is unique in its approach, the programs that they offer, they're unique in the admission requirements, they're unique in their approach to education, and you cannot assume that the admissions officer knows anything about home education. In other words, what happens is this, and I don't know if you got this message from Alicia thing, but you have to be the one informing them. You have to help them along with their thinking, all right? And you got to do that politely. You don't want to go like, duh, don't you get it? That's not the good approach, all right? What you want to do is you want to be polite, but you want to help them along. Most of the time, when we get problems, and we do, our students are full, I tried such and such and they refused. Okay, what did you do? Well, I asked them what you need to get in. Good, okay. And they gave you, you need English 30, Math 30, and all this kind of, you know, Alberta subject. Yeah. Did you tell them you were home educated? No. Start there. What did Alicia say? Be honest with them. Tell them what's going on. All right? So you have to help them to understand home education. We have gotten so many issues. The bigger the institution, the worse it is. That when we did the website, and you'll notice that the website, we have there a post-secondary education website. We've listed all the Alberta institutions. You click on that, you get all the information. I hope that Atlantic Canada is going to get online here pretty soon. But the reality is that when, I lost my train of thought. When people, oh, I'll have to just, never mind, have another coffee. Boom. What's that?
The bigger the institution, the harder.
The bigger the institution, the harder it is to get in. And what I've had to do is what you don't see is on the inside. I have asked them for their home education contact person. Because you end up talking to too many different people, and I am spending half of my time educating them. Yeah. So if I can get one person to talk to, stick to that person. So you don't have to redo this over and over again. She bounced around, you know, so-and-so said this and such said that. Believe me, the right hand does not know what the left hand's doing here. Okay? So you have to help them along. Home educated students are different. They're different. And not like in the Forrest Gump, different. They're different in that they have no documentation, diploma, or official transcript. Now I'm talking about from the registrar's perspective. They cannot be treated like the rest, and they need to look for alternative to standard applicants. In other words, what you are looking for, and these are the words, you're looking for the alternate admission criteria. We have standard admission criteria. You've been to school. These are the subjects that you need. End of story. Do they have alternate admission criteria? You bet you. And I'll tell you why. There are students coming from Nova Scotia, from Prince Edward Island, from New Brunswick, from Quebec, from Ontario, from Alberta. Are they meeting the standard admission criteria? Negative. In Newfoundland, the admission criteria is based on the public school program here in Newfoundland. So they already have alternate admission criteria. Never mind students from other countries. I was sitting in front of a whole bunch of people in admissions one time, and we had there the registrar and the recruitment officer and the testing officer and the admissions officer and so on. So I'm asking these questions, and I said, do you accept the SATs? And the admissions officer answers, says, yes, we accept them from our American students, from our American applicants. Then, of course, I do the Columbo approach. I take my pen, scratch my head, and I put it on the table, say, can I ask you a question? She says, yes. I says, you accept SAT students or results from American students because they're coming here without the provincial programming and diploma. And so in order for you to ascertain proficiency, you use the SATs from these foreign students. That's correct. May I ask you another question? Yes. If a student is born and raised and educated right here in Alberta, and they come without the provincial accreditation and diploma and documentation, like the American students, for them, you will not accept the SATs. And I just saw the registrar roll his eyes like this, and lady pulls out a pen. She says, no, effectively, immediately, we'll be accepting SATs from home educated students. Okay? Now, it wasn't hard to do, was it? I just saw a little bit of a thing, and I actually asked some questions, and she was embarrassed that their policy was so inane. Yeah. That's your last word.
Yeah.
Okay? Like if you really, really are really mad, like I know that Alicia said she was mad. I don't believe she was really mad yet. Because when you're really mad, then you can use the word discriminatory. Now that is anathema to post-secondary institutions. After all, they are tolerant and understanding. Okay? So, but that's the last thing you'll ever use. All right. So we go on here, an altered admission criteria, we talked about that, ask for them, most likely will require evidence of education, training, and potential. That's going to mean an interview, it may mean a portfolio, and it may mean testing. Let's take a look at these things. Presenting, the interview is very simple. Don't show up in your ripped up jeans with a chunk out the back end, all right? If you're going to go for an interview, look presentable. I don't think I had to tell you that, did I? All right. The second one is everybody's a walking portfolio. That's what I mean by the interview. And your first impression means everything. And self-confidence. A 16-year-old or a 17-year-old confident enough to take on admissions personnel? That means a lot. All right. And it helps and help establish your education and your training. Admissions directors are looking for the best. Your job is to be the best. All right? That's not hard to do because there's really not a lot of competition in terms of where you're at in comparing to what you're competing with in terms of home, of the public school system. There's not a lot of competition there. All right. Testing. I know to some people, test is a dirty four-letter word. Okay? Especially the hands-on people. I want to touch on this. Hands-on people. These are the people that can take apart anything, put things back together, or they may be great artists or something. I mean, you know them because your car's not safe, okay? Now, these are the hands-on people. To them, school is a living hell because school is academic. It doesn't give any room for the hands-on. These people are the ones that are labeled learning disabled. They're not. Learning disabled. School disabled? Yes. But not learning disabled. They learn in a different way. And because they learn in a different way, academics and testing and paper and pencil scare these kids to death. I've got two that went through apprenticeship programs, my son-in-law and my son. I don't want to tell you how long I told them, don't worry about this test. And you see test and they go white. Okay? Because there is testing involved. Now, for those of you that are academic, this is child's play. All right? When you're seeking admissions, you may need to do things to help prove your readiness. And that may mean an SAT or an ACT. I'm surprised they actually accept the CATs because most don't. Easier than following prescribed program. Believe me, trying to do high school at home is just awful. So if you're only... cost for having done this is to do an SAT, no big deal. Now here's what I want you to know. Do not fear. All right? Because the tests are not content-based. They're skills-based. Now, here's the difference. You go to school and you learn about plumbing. When you take the test is on plumbing. Okay? Here's the reason why you can't do a school test. You were in home education and your child was interested in electricity. So you studied electricity. Then you go write the test in the school and the test is on plumbing. Flunk. Okay? Now let's talk skills. Skills go across the board. And so the skills-based testing is the Ferris testing. Your CAT test is half content, half skilled. Your CTBS is more skilled than content, and your SAT is all skill. You understand that the SAT was created in the United States because there are 50 states. And if that were Canada, that would mean there would be 50 different school jurisdictions. Huh, good news is bad news. The reality is that every county in the states is its own school jurisdiction. So there are thousands of different approaches to education. So the SAT is the great leveler. Everybody writes it, and all the colleges in the United States use it. It has to be skills-based. It can't be content-based, or you would eliminate anybody who didn't follow this particular stuff. Okay? So they're quite good. They're really important. Now, testing centers are usually a little bit intimidating, and one little quick little piece of advice I want to give to students who are going to be writing a test is the minute that you feel hot, put your pencil down, okay, because you're panicking. That's what happens. The first thing that happens in the body, when I was a teacher, well, I still am, but when I was in classroom, when I would just be able to pick out the panickers right now. I would just go up to them, and I'd put my hand on their hand and simply say, mostly girls, guys not as obvious, girls, they turn all red, and I would just simply say, put the pencil down. And they would put the pencil down, and I said, just put your head down, have a sleep. No. They look at you like you're nuts. I said, do it. So they would put their head down. How long was their sleep?
Half a minute.
30 seconds max. Then they get up. No. Okay? So when you feel that panic coming on, you feel that all of a sudden it's getting, you know, the heat, just stop right there. Otherwise, what you're doing is you're putting a warring blender to your brain, and you're going to forget even what you did know, all right? So I just want to point that out to you very quickly, and there's good reasons for writing them, and I'm going to give you four good reasons. Number one, you want to know. If you're not successful at this test, you're probably not going to be successful in college. Is that a good reason to write the test? Absolutely. Number two, your parents want to know. They're sitting on the sidelines. They got no fingernails left because they ate them all. Okay? Your parents want to know. Number three, the institution wants to know. And number four, well, I guess it's not really applicable here, but in Alberta it sure is, I want to know. We all want to know. Now, here's the good news, is that the results are usually very, very good. All right? The students do well. When I was in Nova Scotia? No, it was New Brunswick. And one of the students there, and the lady said, my daughter did the SAT and she got 1475. Now that's 1475 out of 1600. She asked me, what do you think we should do next? Pick your college and ask who's going to pay you the most to go. Because at 1475, I mean, that's an unreasonable number. Most people are looking for 1,000. 1,200 for the prestigious institutions. 1,475 sends people spinning. They think you've cheated. Okay? So, I mean, those are the results. They're actually quite good. You need not worry about that. And what if the results aren't good? Well, I'll tell you, now's the time to find out. Not halfway through your first year. Does that make sense? Okay? So you don't be afraid of writing these tests. All right. What about when you're rejected? Most of us can't take rejection. Use the Alicia approach. You mean no? Are you talking to me? It's not necessarily the final answer. What it usually is that's the first answer because they're confused. They don't know what to do with you. After all, you are peculiar, right? So, anyways, now what goes on is, be persistent. Oh, boy, did we hear that story or what? Just Don't let go. If you think that this is what God wants for you, then go. On the other hand, it's important to follow that heart. You know, when you get rejected and you go, thank goodness. Don't argue. All right? Because you weren't going in the right direction in the first place. You understand what I'm saying? But if you get rejected and you go, oh yeah, that's a different story. Okay. Seek other admission people. And again, you know, it was wonderful to have Alicia there because she prepared you for all these things, didn't she? You know what? Oh yeah? Let me talk to your superior. You know, climb up. Go to the department head. That's how I got into Nate. You see, I was your typical student. No, atypical student. I'm a dyslexic. Anybody here dyslexic? You know what a dyslexic is, don't you? He lives in his own world. Okay? I went through school. They wanted 50%. I gave them 50%. I made a mistake in grade 12 and my average was 56. Okay. So maybe I worked a little too hard. Never did one iota of homework in my entire life. Never brought a book home, and if I did, it just served as a doorstop. Now, all of a sudden, I get to grade 12 and figure, oh, I'm going to keep on going now. I go to Nate, bang, door shut, completely. Why? 56, I'm competing with people in their 80s and 90s. I don't know, I was kind of a strange kid, I guess. I said I was in my own paradigm. So when I got rejected as number 167 for 60 positions, I made an appointment to see the department head. And I showed up there, I'm 18 years old, and I brought my portfolio. I didn't realize at the time there was a portfolio. But remember I said it was a biologist? School didn't make me a biologist. I was a biologist when it was this high. There wasn't a bug that I didn't know. There wasn't a bird I didn't see. The cat wasn't safe with me. Okay? So I had a portfolio. And when I sat in front of the department head and told him, this is who I am, he took one look at me and he figured, wow. And the letter almost beat me home. I was accepted. Because of my marks? No, not at all. Because of my portfolio. Incidentally, the dyslexic that the counselor said I didn't have a hope and beep of succeeding in a post-secondary world was my greatest inspiration. He caused me to do 2 degrees in 4 years with honors.
Wow.
Not stupid, just not school. Still not school. All right. Review your career choice. The final analysis is if you keep hitting the door keeps closing, maybe there's somebody, God, who's closing that door. Maybe you've made a mistake. All right? So be prepared to change your mind. And of course, all of us have. Spiritual preparation. That's quite the mutt. All right. Post-secondary bound students must be equipped with a defensible Christian worldview in preparation for the onslaught of secular atheistic attacks of universities that include philosophical naturalism, ethical and moral relativism, biological evolutionism, psychological self-actualization, and socialist global politics and economics. You find that as soon as you register in your first Athabasca University course. They're coming from a secular worldview. That's not the worldview that we're coming from. So remember we said that we wanted to do spiritual preparation, character development, and academic achievements in that order? I'm serious. Before your child starts going to the post-secondary level, whether they're sitting at home or going to college, they need to be able to stand on their own spiritual 2 feet. There is a program out there. I forgot about that. I should have put it up here.
I'll make a note of it.
Yeah. It's called Summit Ministries. All right. Oh, you want to go to summitministries.com or org or something, but it's called Summit Ministries. And they are an organization that is dedicated to preparing Christian students for the post-secondary garbage that they're going to run into. Do you know what? I asked my Mennonite folks, why are you not sending your students to post-secondary? Their answer is, we don't want them to lose their faith. Here's the truth. 80% of Christian students going to the secular institutions come out with their faith damaged or destroyed. 80%. Now that is the studies of people who have gone through school. We are much, much better situation here, but you know what? We are not immune to Satan's attacks. You understand? We need to truly be prepared. And how do we do that? Well, let me see. What does the Bible say? See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principle of this world rather than on Christ. That's our admonishment right out of the Bible on how to deal with these kinds of things. And then, of course, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. What does that mean? That means you will not be the most popular kid in school. Okay? Because you're going to make yourself out to be peculiar, and you're going to be attacked. Satan has no lack of volunteers. You're going to have some problems here. But if you can come out with your faith intact, it's not going to be just intact. You're not only going to have your faith, you're going to understand why you believe that. And that's more important than anything else. To just be able to repeat things by rote is the school approach. You want to do it because you know. You've studied it and you understand. All right? Have faith. God has a purpose for us all. If we love Him, it'll work out. You can take a look at the Scriptures. God will take care of us. We will only be happy if we are doing what we are supposed to do. Did you know that there's only two types of careers. Two types of jobs. Did you know that? Ever think of it? The right one and the wrong one, depending on who you are. So really, if you're happy at what you're doing, you're in the right place. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be there permanently. Sometimes God has a way of shaking our world and moving us on. We cannot make anything out of anyone that God hasn't already made. Our greater purpose is to bring Him glory as we advance His kingdom here on earth. And God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. There's a difference. You can go ahead and go to college, and we saw that this morning, where people have post-secondary training, not working in their field of training. Okay? But if you know what your calling is, then go get qualified. It's kind of silly. It really is, if you stop and think of it. Remember I said I was a schizophrenic? It starts off by saying that God is the one who's going to give you your purpose and your place. Then, man is going to qualify you to do what God has called you to do. That's the world that we live in. It's not right, but that's the way it is. I don't believe that somebody has to have a journeyman certificate to fix a car. I don't. But I do know one thing for sure. If he's going to fix a car here in Newfoundland and get paid for it, he needs a journeyman certificate. Okay? So that's the way it is. We're not of the world, but we're in it. And so we still have to follow these kinds of rules. All right. Now, we talk about going to school for 12 years. Now, see, it says over here, and so, anybody know what cicadas are? Oh, okay. There's a homeschool kid looked it up in the dictionary or in the environment or the encyclopedia. A cicada is an insect that actually lays its eggs in the ground and stays underground for 17 years before it comes up as an adult. So this was a Larson cartoon, and this was a cicada graduation, where it says, and so, as you enter the adult phase of your life, you will thank God that these past 17 years of being stuck in the ground and unable to move are over. Congratulations, cicadas of 94. I thought that was rather interesting, because if you take a look here, if you're going to go to school for 12 years, it takes 16 years to get an undergraduate degree, if indeed you've only taken 12 years to complete school and 4 years to complete the degree. Assuming that there are no problems along the way, schooled students can beat the cicadas by 1 year. Our home-educated students can do far better than that. You can be 20 years old, and most people are thinking about starting and already have your undergraduate. We have a student in Alberta, it's quite a long time ago. He was 12 years old. His dad was a professor. He took a math course at the University of Alberta, and he got 100% on it. So the teacher got a hold of the registrar and said, this is unreal, we should get this kid in here. So, you know, I mean, he was young, but they put him in there, so he did his undergraduate degree. He was working on his graduate degree when he was 15, but then it was interrupted because he had a bike crash. He's 15, so he had a bicycle crash, and it was a serious bicycle crash. He was kind of out of the loop for a while, but he came back and he did it. No, and then actually he got a scholarship, I think it was out east here, and he completed his graduate program, and then he came back to the U of A and he finished his doctorate when he was 17 and a half years of age. Now that is an unreasonable, unnormal kid. But what made him really normal is that he was home educated. It's possible.
But he wasn't very good at riding a bike.
No, he crashed his bike. Okay? So there you go. He did it. He had his doctorate. Now, what would be the normal? It would be 4 years after 18, 22. You're lucky to do a graduate program in 2 years, right? So let's say 24. And, you know, another 2 years, probably three to do a doc and a postdoc. You're talking 27, 28. This kid beat that by 10 years. All right? So is it possible? Yes, it is possible. Is it normal? No. Okay, it's not normal, but it's possible. If your child shows, you know, signs of being ready, probably he is. Well, folks, I'm a little bit beyond. Not all my fault, but I am. Are there any questions? Good. If they're not, then we'll go for lunch. And what we'll do is if you have any questions, please write them and put them in that offering plate, and we will look after them. I want to thank the young people who spent the morning listening to all this stuff. I know that this afternoon you have other plans and you're probably going to be doing other things. So just in case you're wondering what we're going to be talking about this afternoon, we're going to be talking about you because you're not here. All right. So young folks, thank you so much. And, you know, talk about great socialization skills. I think these young kids really, truly are our inspiration, because our mission, when we talk about what is our mission statement, we say training tomorrow's leaders of integrity through home education. And I think our young people here have indicated that indeed we've been successful in training tomorrow's leaders of integrity through home education. So to the young people, thank you for being an inspiration to us all.